were to the predictable, it's not different than the WFAN thing, which is if you just ask anybody in Cleveland on any given day, who do you think it's going to be?
Yeah.
From any conversation I've had with the media, when I say the media, I'm talking about anybody I know within the Cleveland media, it sure seems like whatever name they've heard last.
Yeah, no, that's true. We do have a little bit of news from Tom Pelissero I think you might be interested in. The Ravens have requested an interview with Browns defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz for their head coaching job. So we kind of wondered, like, nobody is asking Schwartz for any sort of interviews, any sort of jobs, and now here he is, Baltimore.
All right, can I give you my read on that?
Yeah, I'd love it, yes.
I don't think he's going to be a serious candidate for head coach there. Sometimes teams bring guys in for interviews like Todd Monken. I don't think Todd Monken's a real candidate for the Browns head coach job.
They just want intel?
No, I think it's to be the OC. I think he could very, very likely be the next OC here. So I think the Ravens, reading off the Albert Breer report, which was earlier this weekend, that the Browns aren't going to force Schwartz or Reese on the new head coach. I could see the Ravens looking at what's happened to the defense over the last 3 years and go,
yeah.
We want some of that here, because what was one of the biggest knocks on whether it was or the defensive coordinator, John Harbaugh, that hadn't really developed anybody on defense. I mean, was it Ross that talked to us about Owe, Adafe Owe, who then went out to San Diego, yeah. Went out to the Chargers and became basically an elite edge rusher, pass rusher, after mm-hmm. having zero sacks in Baltimore.
Well, look at all the guys in that D-line that they ended up, first off, they paid a lot of those guys too, and then it ended up just really not working out the way that they wanted it to last 2 years. But all right, so that's interesting. Schwartz getting some love, though, even if it's for some intel for defensive coordinator jobs, which also would, by the way, tell you that the league is starting to think, or at least come to the conclusion, that Jim Schwartz will not be a part of the Browns.
All right. Or at least knows that there's a chance. Because remember, this is important. Schwartz is under contract with the Browns.
Yeah, and they don't have to, by the way, they didn't have to approve any of this.
Yes. So,
and this is just a request from Baltimore. They have not approved it yet.
So these are all things to kind of pay attention to. Guys, don't sleep on the fact Stefanski's already interviewed there, and that this could be part of their pitch to Stefanski. Hey, Kevin, here's your defensive head coach.
We use diabolical a lot. That is diabolical thinking, though.
Well, I mean,
I do like it. It's a good thing. Well, it's a smart thought. If I was Baltimore, I'd be going down that road.
Well, I mean, because I think if we just play this out and kind of they're like, look at what the Browns defense was with Stefanski before he got Jim Schwartz.
I would think it'd be Stefanski's number one choice in general anyway.
You could take just about
anybody. That's who we'd want.
But now let's be real here. You can't control whether Kevin Stefanski is going to the Ravens or not. You can damn sure control whether Jim Schwartz will.
Well, and so this is where
if you let this
happen,
this whole nice guy stuff, get it out of your lexicon if this is how you're thinking.
But if you let this happen, if you say, no, sorry, Jim, you can't go ahead and do this, and then you turn around and you hire a coach that wants nothing to do with Jim Schwartz as his defensive coordinator, and then Jim Schwartz is out looking for jobs, that's a tough look.
But
business is tough sometimes. They don't do this. They always tend to do, or at least they try to do, the right thing. Maybe this is where they get a little tough with people.
I really struggle with the head coach that wouldn't want Jim Schwartz here.
Well, it's a defensive coach. If you go with a defensive-minded coach.
Even that.
I think it's going
to
be tough.
Your job is to not be the defensive coordinator here. Your job's to be the head coach.
I know, but Jesse Minner, for instance, is going to have his whole defensive philosophies that he wants to implant and input. Brian Flores is completely different than what Jim Schwartz even runs to begin with anyway.
I would say to both those guys, don't you want to win?
Well, that's what I would think too, but
if we remember when Mike Tomlin took over in Pittsburgh, this is a guy who had run the Tampa 2 his entire career. He had been that in Tampa, and obviously it started to try and run that in Minnesota, and the Steelers basically said to him, Dick LeBeau is your defensive coordinator and Keith Butler is going to be your defensive coordinator after that. Mike Tomlin's been coaching in the 3-4 since then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's not to say that won't happen, by the way, because I think you're right on.
No, I don't know. We don't
those
know.
Guys are going to want that, but this is where
usually it's how it works.
This is where an organization would go, hey, just so you know, that thing that's working really well, where we're seeing a lot of success, we're not going to change that just because you're the head coach.
But meanwhile, again, we got that report from Albert that basically is hinting at the idea that Jim Schwartz and Tommy Reese aren't going to be deal breakers in any of these decisions when it comes to what the head coach wants.
Doesn't it just kind of annoy you that those two names are getting the same billing?
It does a little bit, yes. Yes, it does.
I think Tommy is a really interesting coach, and I do think that time will be very kind to his NFL career. If he wants to be the head coach of USC in 3 years, I think he can be it. If he wants to be head coach of an NFL team in 3 years, if he goes to the right teams, I think he's going to have a chance to do it. I do think he has all the right people in his corner. right? And he's got experience in all kind of situations, whether it's throwback football as a player, whether it's analytics. He's got a wealth of experience. To me, Jim Schwartz is like, I can't say that I would force him on a head coach. Cannot do that. But I'm just this side of forcing him on a head coach. He's as close to I'm going to make you hire him as possible without actually being that.
That's why I just lean towards the idea that they're going to end up going with an offensive mind. If it's not McDaniel, I like the idea that like Dan Pitcher just keeps getting more and more steam with each passing day. Not because it's something I can endorse. I don't know anything about him. None of us do. But the idea that it would fit something that they clearly want to go towards. You keep Schwartz intact, and then you get this guy that you think is the next McVay, and you slide him in.
My problem with Dan Pitcher is, if they hire
He's
Dan Pitcher the whole time, I'm going to say, so was Dan Pitcher the whole time. Because he and Andrew...
Because he was out of the gate?
Well, no, because
him... the Colts connection?
Well, yeah, the Colts connection. Andrew's known him for a decade. Andrew is clearly maybe on his last leg as an NFL GM in this iteration, and I'm going to go to the trust tree with the nest.
Dan Pitcher and those type of guys, you talk about boom or bust, that is a boom or bust selection. That is, if it works out, great. You want to be the guy that hires Sean McVay before he's Sean McVay. That's a massive, you get to keep your job for a very long time. And if it doesn't work out, well... then obviously you won't have a job, which you might not have anyway after a year.
So we never really got to this. We threw it out there, but we never answered it for ourselves.
Yeah.
Do you think, as this is Mike McDaniel Day, do you think Mike McDaniel is a downgrade from Kevin Stefanski?
No, I don't understand the people that think it is. I don't even understand the people. I think it's lateral. I think it's you're on the same plane. Let's put it that way. I think it is a they're not the same person, but they have, as far as qualifications are concerned, I think McDaniel's a better play caller than Stefanski is. I think McDaniel did more with a quarterback that people think is awful than Stefanski could ever dream of. And here I am talking into the idea that I think McDaniel's a better coach than Stefanski. But like I think so much higher of McDaniel than most people. But I don't think most people think it is. But I definitely do.
Yeah, I think Chris Greer made a lot of.
He was an
roster
idiot.
Choices. I don't think he was an idiot, but I think he made a lot of roster decisions that were just as...
I just wanted to be mean.
Just as baffling as what Andrew Berry's done, and yet Mike McDaniel's floor in Miami was 7 wins. Like I don't think Tua, the more he got injured, the more concussions he had, there were diminishing returns there, and I do think that was a compromised roster. So if I already think McDaniel is a better play caller and a better developer of offensive talent, and that he never allowed the pieces around him to stunt his growth as a play caller, well, I think that's pretty telling compared to Kevin. And I really do think the difference here is, I think the reason why people view Stefanski here and McDaniel here is because they're buying into the league-wide perception. I think the league-wide, I think the real difference between Stefanski and McDaniel is I think Kevin is really incredible at playing the media game. He understands how to cultivate a relationship with those people, and he puts a lot of time into it. Whereas, and I'm not talking about in Cleveland, I'm talking about on a national level, the people that help you get jobs are guys like Albert. They are guys like Charles Robinson. They are guys like Rappaport and Schefter, right?
Right.
I think Kevin knows how to play that game and wants to. I don't think Mike McDaniel has ever given a rip about playing that game.
Yeah, he beats to his own drum, and it shows.
But I think that's it. What we're really dealing with is a perceptional issue where I think the better football coach is Mike McDaniel.
Well, and there's a reason why a lot of people don't like him, and it's because of that. The idea that he's not very coach-like, for lack of a better term. Like he doesn't do things the way that most coaches do. He wears expensive watches, he has capris, he vapes, he does all these different type of things, and you think that's somebody that should be like a run game coordinator, not somebody that should be a head coach. And I think it turns a lot of football people off.
Also, a little bit here from Jordan Schultz. The Browns have requested to interview Jaguars OC Grant Yudinski for their head coaching job. He's 30 years old today. He's worked with Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence this season and with Kevin O'Connell and Sam Darnold last year. This guy has very little experience as a coordinator, but he is one of the names that, again, the media masses is anointed as boy child of the future.
You're right, man. His name popped up so many times over the weekend. It felt like it just kept coming up over and over and over. 30 years old is insane to be a head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, this franchise, if anybody's going to give it a chance to a young guy, it is somebody like Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry, when he was named the GM, is the youngest GM in NFL history at 34 years old. Like, people that get jobs at a young age that they shouldn't have or what doesn't typically get are always the ones most likely to then give them out in other positions.
So can I just struggle with, and it's whether it's Dan Pitcher or Grant Udinski, like, I know, you like look at Mike McDaniel, and there are warts there. Right, it wasn't perfect in Miami. Things did fall apart with Tua. They went from winning, being in the playoffs the first 2 years to being, what was it, 8 wins 2 years ago, 7 wins this year. Understand all these things, and they're all fair. And he did so with Hill and Waddle and Achane and, you know, all this talent, right? There are a lot of big names on the defense, too, even though the defense was mostly booty cheeks. But say what you want, you do know good from bad, what these guys have done, the way that, like, these long-form pieces that are written about, like, I read this long-form piece about Grant Udinski, and it's like, he's a communicator, and he's this, and he played with people's kids, and he did this, yeah, and it's like, none of this actually matters to whether I think he can be a good head coach or not, because these are not things, like, until you slide that ass 18 inches over the old Hugh Jacksonism, you don't know. You know, and I just think there's an element of phoniness to why these guys get built up. And the same thing with Dan Pitcher. Like, I have no doubt the guy is smart. I have no doubt the guy on some level knows football and knows people who know football, which is another big thing. I don't know if that necessarily makes him ready for this job.
Can you look up Grant Udinski? I'm very confused by him. He kind of has like a Miles Teller type look to him, but then there's also other ones where it looks like he's got a very punchable face, and I don't know what to do with it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was kind of thinking like the fifth generation of Kennedys.
Yeah, right? I mean, yeah, he looks like
RFK definite, Jr.
Definite trust fund money. That's not even a question. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the hair gel tells that whole story.
See, it's interesting. He's kind of also got a little bit of Spencer German to him, which I like. Got a little bit of that Germinator to him.
Oh, very clean shaven.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about the hair, the coif. Spencer occasionally will coif his hair in such a way.
It looks nice when Spencer does it.
In the one picture,
I don't know about this guy.
It's kind of like a pompadour. It's almost got like a pompadour kind of thing. And it's like, is this Elvis or is this guy going to be the head coach of the Browns?
It fits with the pompous attitude that he's given off here.
Then another one, he kind of just looks like Brian Scalabrini's little brother.
I can't imagine 30 years old being a head coach. Maybe it's because I think about what I was at 30 years old, and I'd be like, no one would do that.
216-474. No,
that's a bad idea.
0092. Jim in Strongsville, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. How you doing?
Doing all right. What you got for us?
You're getting better on Photoshop.
I'm trying. I'm working hard.
I can tell that. I see that. I see that. You're getting better with each day.
Are you sure it's Photoshop or is it ChatGPT, Jim? Be honest.
It is not ChatGPT. It is a program. It is time-consuming, but I've become pretty proficient at it. You know,
well, when I'm proud of you on this front.
I can see the progress. Day by day, I see the progress.
Yeah. Anyways, guys, listen, I just want to say this. I like Jim Schwartz. I think he's done a good job with the defense. At the end of the day, though, if we love him so much and he's done such a great job, then hire him as your head coach. I'm not saddling any new head coach with Jim Schwartz. We haven't won anything since Schwartz has been here, so I'm not – I get it, man. I think the defense was really good, but I also think that there's a lot of defenses that could be really good. We have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. He's done a good job with that talent, but I just am not buying into this. Look, I don't want to saddle up the new coach with anything. I just don't feel like that's a good way to move forward. I get what you're saying about the Steelers, Nick, but let's face it, the Steelers had a lot more success than we've had when they hired Mike Tomlin. So I'm not necessarily going to say, like, you know, they ran that defense forever, had the steel curtain. They had, you know, one for the thumb, that stupid phrase. So I just can't look at that and say, well, we're the Browns. So, you know, we won, nothing. So, yeah, we want to keep Jim Schwartz because that's so ingrained in our culture here. It just doesn't make sense. That's all I had, boys. I'll send you some Photoshops later.
Buddy, appreciate you. A couple things here. Hasn't won anything. That's not on the defense. They've lost in spite of the defense. So I think it's a little unfair to say they haven't won anything. They also did go to the playoffs his first year. Did the Ravens saddle John Harbaugh with Rex Ryan the first couple of years that Rex was that John was a head coach in Baltimore? The two most successful teams in this division have done this to their last head coaches who have lasted 18 years or longer. The Ravens did it with Dick LeBeau. The Ravens did it with Rex Ryan and John Harbaugh, and then the Steelers did it with Dick LeBeau and then Keith Butler. So good organizations in your division have done this. And here's the other thing. The reason why Schwartz matters is you've got a lot of things that are scheme-specific. On the defensive side of the ball, you've got a lot of guys who are specific to the wide nine scheme. Mm-hmm. And why that matters is last year they were a sub-elite defense. They lost it towards the end of the year at parts. But again, they had a lot of moments where they looked like one of the five best defenses in the NFL. The whole point of being able to succeed next year, year one in this new coach, is that you don't take a step back defensively, but you take a step forward offensively. If you've got wide nine scheme-specific guys here and you switch to a 3-4 or a 3-3-5 like Flores, that defense is going to take a step back.
Which is why a lot of people have instantly removed Flores from their board on this. And that's why I, in this entire stretch, I'm very pro-offensive-minded coach, someone that's going to be smart enough to be like, oh yeah, Jim Schwartz, we need him here.